I don't know about you, sometimes I have those senior moments, those memory losses. Sometimes Karen finds me standing somewhere in the house and she said, "Would you forget?" I don't know. I don't know. But we have reminders, reminders of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So many times we remember our past. We're a little bit nostalgic where we kind of remember the good stuff. And the bad stuff kind of fades away. But I want to tell you today that I want to talk about something today that kind of reminds me of the things that we've been through. Paul said these words. He said, "Forgetting those things which are past and pressing on." And if you keep that in the context of that scripture, you're going to see that it wasn't a bunch of bad things that he listed, but he was listing his accomplishments of who he was. What he was saying is, I'm not going to stay and live in my past victories, in my past accomplishments, but I'm going to keep on pressing on for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Paul said that I mortify, I crucify my flesh, that I might preach to others and then be lost. Paul was always concerned. He was always remembering. And I think sometimes that all Paul had to do is look at his own body, his physical body, the marks that he wore because of serving Jesus Christ, for the things that he served preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take today's topic as scars today. Each scar that we have on our physical bodies here today, each of them tells a story. It may be a good story, it may be a bad story. It may be a story of survival or endurance, something that God has brought you through. Sometimes our scars are kind of badge of honor. They're things that we can point to and kind of maybe even brag about a little bit. Sometimes the scars on our bodies are scars of abuse, maybe abuse by others, but sometimes they're scars that we've placed there ourselves. They may be a story of sacrifice and love. Karen has four scars on her body where she went through a surgery donating her kidney to her father. So it's a good story. It's a story of sacrifice and love. The scars that we bear may be embarrassing stories. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of dumb things I've done. And they all tell a story. Sometimes the scars on our body tell a story of sin and a rebellious life. Maybe they're a story of anger and self-loathing. These scars that I'm talking about today may be on our physical body, and they're obvious scars, but sometimes those scars are far deeper and they're unseen. Sometimes there's emotional scars. Sometimes there's scars that are within us, part of us, because of things maybe we have done to ourselves, maybe things that people have done to us. There are emotional scars. And sometimes when people touch upon those scars, it triggers things in our life. Sometimes there's spiritual scars. There are many people outside of church today, maybe even viewing today, that have been wounded in church, maybe by a pastor or a church leader. We have stories and testimonies like Shonda Pierce, she's a comedian, if you're familiar with her ministry, who was abused by an uncle who was a deacon in the church for years. There are those scars that are within us that kind of take us away from a loving God. There are the social scars. We live in a social generation, social media, where we see people getting beat up every day. Folks, people want to be loved. They want to be accepted. And folks, we're coming to a place where we've become outcast. We have phobias concerning our relationship with people. But I don't want to talk about those scars here today. I want to talk about the scars that Jesus bore. Jesus has scars. And I want to say today that they are present tense. He still bears them. Guess who gave him those scars? People did, right? The very ones who he came to help are the ones who gave him those scars. We see they were mean people. There was jealous people, prejudiced people, even religious people, non-religious people. They all were present that day that Jesus was crucified. Even good people caused Jesus to have scars. If you've ever witnessed to somebody, one of the first responses they have in response to them not being good is that, I am good. I am good. That is their fence. I am a good person. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, he says, no one is good. Not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. No one does good. Not even one. Did you get the message that Paul was saying? No one, no one, no one. So today we stand before him. Is that good? Okay. All right. Wasn't sure of the font. Amen. Hallelujah. I had to look. Amen. No one, Paul writes. So how many people have heard? Well, I already said that. So I'm going to go on to the next line. Okay. All right. We all belong to a club here today. We all have given Jesus his scars. I've heard it said that the only thing man-made in heaven is Jesus' scars. Not much of a testimony to say that Jesus died because of my sin. We say for, but I think because holds a little bit more power to it. Because of me, Jesus has scars upon his body. And today, I'm not proud of the fact that Jesus has scars today because of what he did for me, the place that he took what I deserved upon himself. We know that the Bible says he didn't have to. The Bible says he chose to. He said, I lay down my life, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down willingly. And today, let's give thanks to him. Lord, we are so grateful today for going to the cross. We thank you for the stripes upon your back. We thank you for the crown of thorns. We thank you for the nails that have pierced your body, Lord. And we are so grateful today because of what you did for us here this morning. Lord, we don't want to go a day without thanking you, Lord, for what you have done for us and where you have brought us today. And so, Lord, we just want to give you the praise. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor. And we pray in your precious name, amen. So I can imagine someday we're all going to see Jesus. I'm not going to say all of us. Hopefully all of us will all day get to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we will also have the opportunity to see the scars that he wears. So I want to go to John chapter 20. And I'm going to be reading out of the Good News translation here today. It says, beginning in verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas said to them, unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my fingers on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were together again indoors and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, I want you to put your finger here. I want you to look at my hands. Then I want you to reach out your hands and put your hand in my side. Stop your doubting and believe. Thomas answered and said, my God, Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, do you believe because you have seen? How happy are those who believe without seeing me. So Thomas did get to see the scars, and he ran his fingers over those scars and put his finger in the side of Jesus where he had been pierced by a spear. Remember what I said at the beginning, every scar tells a story. The scars of Jesus reveal how much he loves us, how much he has forgiven us, and how much he wants us to belong to him and to be with him. That's the story of Jesus' scars. As we look at the scripture, we go into this Easter month, we recognize the torture, the suffering of Jesus Christ. And we're all familiar with Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53. It talks about the suffering servant. But I want you to see here this morning the extent of Jesus' suffering. Isaiah is writing 700 years before the crucifixion of Christ. And he writes, "See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted." We kind of like those words. We like that word prosperous. We like that word highly exalted. But how many know that that comes with a price tag? "But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know that he was a man." Can you fathom that here this morning? Can you see that in your mind? Many of you probably have seen the Passion by Mel Gibson. And if you've watched it, it is a very bloody, bloody, bloody movie. But in reflection of that, and the reflection of this scripture here, I want to say that probably didn't even hold a candle to what took place that day. These individuals were inflamed by the enemy, the devil. And folks, he was a bloody mess. Today I want to talk about your scars here today, our scars. The Bible says that our suffering is very little in comparison to what eternity is all about. And so today, what about our scar? I'm talking about the scars that are on the outside of us and the scars that are within us. And so I'm going to take a song here today. You may be familiar with it. Mandisa wrote a song in 2013 called "What Scars Are For." And so that's going to be kind of the points of my sermon here today. And if you've never heard that song, I encourage you to listen to that song. And so let's just get into it, and we're going to look at some of the words she penned here today. She says, "These scars aren't pretty, but they're a part of me. And I will not and will not ever fade away. These marks tell a story of me down in the valley and how you reached in with your grace and healed me." As I said, we all have a story, and that story comes with scars. I don't think you could go through life, and maybe some of you are here and say, "I don't have a scar on my body because of things that I've done in my life." But most of us can say that we have scars on our body somewhere. As believers, our stories consist of a life before Jesus, how we met Jesus, and what life was after we began following him. I don't know about you, but there are things in my past that I'm not very proud of, and they're not very pretty. I may possess a few scars on the outside, but I'm telling you right now, I probably have more scars on the inside, the ones you cannot see. We often don't often look at the story of the Good Samaritan in this light. We don't often put Jesus in this story. He's telling this story. He's talking about, in response to a question, "Who is my neighbor?" But I want you today to put Jesus in that today. Jesus is the Good Samaritan who came along and found us on the road, beaten up, naked, and half dead. He ministered to us, picked us up, and continued to take care of us. He was our Good Samaritan. He is our Good Samaritan. Today, I want to proclaim that Jesus is our healer. I want to proclaim to you today, as we heard today in a prophetic message here today, he wants to heal your wounds. The evidence of healed wounds are scars. In 1 Peter 2:24, we often claim this here today. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Can we put scars in there today? All right. By his scars, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Just like Jesus' scars are a reminder to everyone about what he did for us, our scars serve as a reminder of where we have been and where we are now. I don't know about you, but I have scars all over my body from various things. And when I look at them, when I see them, I know exactly. I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't tell you the time of day. But I could tell you the story around those scars. Because those scars remind you of something that happened in your life. They tell a story. She goes on in her song and says, "They remind me of your faithfulness and all you brought me through. They teach me that my brokenness is something you can use. They show me where I've been and that I'm not there anymore. That's what scars are for." Today we just want to remind you, your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is the word of God in action. Even today, if you lack physical scars here today, I'm going to tell you today, that's a testimony. Amen. If you can go through life and say, "I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't go here, I didn't go there," hallelujah. That is a testimony today of the goodness and grace of God demonstrated in your life. Some of us are not that fortunate here today. Some of us bear scars on the outside. Some of us bear scars on the inside of the things that we have done, by the choices we made, the places we went, the people we hung out with. There are scars in our life, and they are testimonies of the grace of God that was applied to our life so that we can say here today, "I am saved. I belong to Him." We all have a story to tell, and sometimes we just need to take a break and stop and listen and stop being quick to judge. I don't know about you, I always check people, I always look, and I kind of critique them. And we kind of categorize them, do we not? We need to slow down a little bit. We need to remember where we were and where we came from. We need to stop and listen and do not be quick to judge. Because all of us are the products of our experiences. None of us are experiences, we may have gone through similar things, but they are not the same. We are products of our experiences. I think I told you once before, Karen's sister comes every holiday, every Christmas, to celebrate with us. She's been doing it for probably over 10 years, 15 years. She always celebrates that holiday. And the first time she came and met my family, she came home and back to our house, and she told Karen, "I understand why Tim is the way he is." She encountered the Farkas family in all their glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I have an excuse. I don't even have to pay a psychologist to say it's all my mom's fault. Amen. But we are the product of our experiences. Where you are today is not where Jesus wants to leave you. Aren't you glad? Even this far in our journeys in serving Christ, He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He's always changing us and prodding us and encouraging us to move on in Him. Scars tell a story of redemption. They tell a story of healing. I believe Pastor Whitney preached on sanctification. We are in a sanctification process, folks, where He is renewing us day by day. Hallelujah. He is restoring us. He is giving us the faithfulness of His promises. I was once lost, but now I'm found. That's our testimony. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once broken, but now I am whole. Church, we don't live in the past, but the things of the past can be used for His glory. Aren't you glad? Those things that maybe we're ashamed of, maybe those things that we've gone through, some of those hard things, those hard places. How many know that God wants to redeem those things? Because you're going to come across people in your life that are going through similar things. He wants to take your story. He wants to use your story to give them hope, to give them a reason for the next day. We don't live in the past, but he sure wants to use our past. Amen. Because it's been redeemed. People are at different places in the process of healing. Some can display their scars here today and they have peace with it. But you may be here today and you may be still bleeding from some of the things that you've gone through and some of the things you may be going through presently. God wants to heal you. Amen. He wants to heal those wounds. He wants those wounds to be scarred over. She goes on in her song and says this, erase, rewind. How many would like to do that? Press the rewind button on some of the things in our life. I wish I could every time. The hurt, the pain cuts so deep. But when I'm weak, you're strong. And in your power, I can carry on. And my scars say that you won't ever leave. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, Paul is winding down his letter to the Corinthian church. And 2 Corinthians 11 tells of Paul's testimony of the things that he has endured for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In there, he refers to the multiple whippings and the beatings that he received. He talks about going hungry. He talks about suffering at the hands of the Jews and the Gentiles. He talks about being hungry. He talks about being thirsty. He talks about being shipwrecked. Over and over again, he just kind of lays out everything that he has undergone because of his love for Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. But it's not until 2 Corinthians 12:7 that Paul begins to talk about those scars. And he says there in verse 7, he says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, meaning that throughout all this process of not just being and suffering for Jesus, that God has been speaking into his life, God has been giving him revelations. And if you're familiar with the story of Paul, Paul said, I had no one teach me but Jesus Christ alone through revelation. Paul spent time with the Lord, and Paul gave him revelations. And so Paul's talking about a revelations here. He says there, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment. The King James says buffet. It means to punch. It means to hit me and keep me from becoming proud. So you can say whatever you want about Paul, whether he was sick, if you want to say his thorn was sickness, or he was going blind, as some people say. Keep it in the context of the scripture that we're reading here today. Read chapter 11. Read what he says here. A messenger from Satan to torment and buffet me and keep me from becoming proud. As I said earlier, I can't imagine the scars upon Paul's body. Each one told a story. A story of his faithfulness to Jesus Christ. If we go on from verse 7 into 8, it says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. What are you going through? What are you going through? We have promises, yes, we hang on to those promises, but they're underlined and underpinned by grace. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure. How many are rejoicing? James said what? Count it on joy when you face various trials and tribulations and temptations, right? He says, this is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. What a testimony. Paul was scarred.
He bore the scars of Christ. Let me encourage you today, don't live in the past and don't live with regrets.
Our scars remind us of the past,
but we don't have to live there. We don't have to camp out there. Let me encourage you, live for today.
Live for tomorrow, because we can't change the past. What's done is done. But maybe here today, you need healing from the past. Maybe you haven't gotten past the past.
Christ wants to heal you. You know, we live with regrets. I think all of us have regrets. I wish I would have. I wish I should have. I wish I could have. Right? We wish we could go back and rewind and play it again. Do it all over again. We can't erase the past. We can't rewind it.
There are no do-overs. And for you golfers, there's no mulligans.
I only need 20 a game. Steve, I only need 20 a game.
And in 18 holes, I could still do 120 strokes.
Amen. I like bowling too. Amen.
When we keep that in mind, there are 2 days in my life, there are 2 separate moments, I wish I could take a mulligan. I don't know if there are days in your life that you made a decision that would change the outcome of your life forever. I'm not talking about the good possibility of accepting Christ. That's a good one. But there are 2 things that I had done, and I'm not going to share them with you. So there are things that I've done that Karen has no idea what I've been involved in, what I've done. You know, they say secrets. Hey, I believe that love covers a multitude of sins. And I believe that there may be parts of our life that need to stay buried. Unless God brings you to a point one day where he said, hey, you know that thing you buried? It's time to dig it up and use it. But there are 2 days, there are 2 separate moments that on 2 different days, I opened up Pandora's box. And if you know what I mean, you opened up, you did something, and there was consequences, multiple consequences, life-changing consequences. It was kind of a self-inflicted wound. And even today, sometimes I pick and scratch at the scab and the scars, and they begin to bleed. I don't know about you. Sometimes those skeletons like to come out of the closet. They like to reveal themselves. But I'm reminded of Paul's words. He said, in my weakness, I am made strong. It's by grace. It's grace. It's grace. Paul's words remind me that healing is mine. It's mine. And I am reminded over and over again why I need a Savior. I don't know about you. I need a Savior as much today as I did the first day I've accepted him. The good news is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore what? No condemnation. Aren't you glad today that when you're forgiven, it's forgiven? And the only problem we have is we like to remember. Hallelujah. He doesn't bring it up. We bring it up. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you have other translations, they kind of drop out that last part. Most of your translations, if it's a modern translation, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and leaves it at that. But you go back to the King James and other translation, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I think that's a biggie to leave out of the Bible. We need to be walking by the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free
from the law of sin and death. We can be free. You can be free. That is the offering that he is giving us today. Medisa goes on and she concludes in her song, I see it on the cross, the nails you took for me. Scars can change the world. Scars can set me free. Are you free? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. You can walk in that freedom today. We don't have to walk under condemnation, church. What we did is in the past if it's under the blood. Let's stop scratching the scabs off. Let's stop playing with the scars. Let it be healed and remain healed. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to close with this scripture here today. Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Galatian church. And he's facing off those who said that circumcision is the sign of salvation. Paul says, no, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's grace. And so he's in this debate here. He says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I put scars in there today? May I never boast about anything except the scars of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, because of those scars, my interest in the world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. And verse 17 is the key verse. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. Paul has decided in his mind it's not by circumcision that he is saved, but it is by the cross and grace of Jesus Christ. He said, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. So folks, he didn't have to drop his pants, excuse the expression here today, to prove that he was a true Jew, follower of Jesus. All he did have to do is take off his shirt. Amen. And show him the scars. This is the proof of my faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I followed in his footsteps. Hallelujah. For I bear on my body the scars that I show that I belong to Jesus. We have, you know. Many times we hide and cover up our scars. There are things in our life that we just want to avoid, we want to disown. We put up in the attic or in the basement, the garage. We don't want to deal with them. We ignore them and pretend that they're not real. Today, I want to encourage you today that if you have some wounds today that you've been carrying, and they should be scars by now, but they're still bleeding, you need to deal with it. You need to give it to Jesus. We can display them when we have these scars to advance the message of Christ. Our scars are something that reveal our honesty, our transparency, that we're real. Folks, we've learned in church to be fake. We come into church with wounds in our lives, and people ask us how we're doing. We say, wonderful, blessed. Folks, people are hurting. People are going through things we don't understand where they're at. I just want to encourage you today, step up. If you have wounds in your life that should be scars by now, these altars are open here today. We'll have people pray with you today. I want you to move if you have some of those wounds here today. You just keep picking at them. You keep picking at them. They keep picking. They're not healing. It just seems like an endless cycle. It's time. It's time to end the cycle. We all have scars. We all have things, church. We can keep pretending, or we can come and be healed. You can keep wrapping the wounds here this morning, or we can come and truly be healed. Scars tell a story, and so do our wounds. They do. Maybe it's time to be a Thomas here today. Maybe it's today you need to see Jesus' scars. Maybe today you need to touch those scars and be reminded of his promises that are yes and amen through him. The outward scars, the outward wounds, and the inward wounds. Where are you today? These altars are, I'm not going to beg you. But Jesus invited you before I even stood up and preached today. Receive my love. Receive my healing. He gave the altar call before the message. Will you respond here today? Swallow your pride, church. Swallow your pride. And let him heal you. Let him bring healing into your life. The thing that he told Thomas, he said, "How happy are those that believe?" How happy are those who believe? Do you believe he can minister to you here today? I invite you up here this morning. If you want to be prayed for healing, if you have something going on in your body, or you'd like to stand in for somebody here this morning. Margaret is out of ICU. She's in a room now. Her and Hunter need prayer, a touch in their body. Scott's with us today. Sean's not here today, but we're believing. We're standing in the gap. We're interceding. We're praying. Maybe you're here today and you need a touch in your body. We invite you to come up and let us pray for you here today. Maybe you're here today and maybe it was an awful week. Maybe it was something happened this week that you kind of fell short of the glory of God. You gave place to the enemy, and you need to put it under the blood. What an opportunity here today. What an opportunity today to get it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.